Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
About 2 years ago, my family of three finally found the home of our dreams. Or at least, that's what it seemed like on the outside. It had an enormous backyard that was almost out of a fairy tale. It was obvious that it hadn't been tended to in years, but it was almost elegant. The front yard and the home itself was simple and quaint, giving off an almost European architecture style. A home like this would usually cost at least $1 million, but we got lucky, grabbing it at almost 70% off that price. A motivated seller for sure, which made me and my wife curious about what made the seller so eager to get it off their hands. Mold, asbestos in the walls, maybe annoying neighbours, or maybe it was because it was in such a quiet little town. Whatever the case, we weren't exactly scared away by ridiculous little things that could be fixed or ignored, especially when it was at such a good price. The moment we moved into the home, only weeks after we signed all the papers, it had an odd aura to it. Almost as if as soon as you put your foot within the entrance, your hair would stand on end, almost as if the static from thousands of balloons were against your skin. Odd, sure. But moving into new homes and such always had your mind making up crazy things, since you're not yet used to the environment. I'm not quite sure if my wife ever felt what I did that first day. I never asked, to be quite honest. I didn't think it mattered. The one weird thing about our dream home's architecture was that the vents of the home were protruding out from the wall. In order to let cool air or hot air inside, we had to physically use the small handle to do so. Another odd thing about the vents was how they opened up fully, so you could put your whole head in the walls. But old architecture tended to have weird things that were unexplainable, and I'd seen weirder. Every now and then, I would think I felt something shake within the floor, almost as if a small earthquake, almost barely noticeable, had hit. The first few times it happened, I wrote it off as this town being sensitive to small earthquakes or possibly mining blasts. That is, until my wife told me how she'd felt the same thing, but upstairs, not even 10 minutes after each of my experiences. That was the moment I felt like the house was watching us, as if it was alive in some way. Of course, I wasn't going to believe that our house, made out of wood and concrete, was possibly alive, but it sure gave off the feeling that it was. And that's exactly when it began feeling like eyes were on me constantly, making the feeling of the house being alive even more evident in my day-to-day life. For my own sake, but mostly my anxious wife's, I calmed her down from her hectic, confused state of rambling to settle on the conclusion that it was simply an odd earthquake and our times were a little jumbled up. She accepted this thankfully, but I was a little less accepting of my excuse. I was almost positive some sort of animal had gotten into our walls and was crawling around randomly, making a racket. Most likely something like a raccoon. The idea of some rabies-infested animal sneaking into the house and biting our 3-year-old daughter horrified me. This thought alone was enough to drive me into pest control mode around the house. I opted to place traps within the vents, the only areas it was possible for anything to get inside other than the front and back door. The moment I got near maybe the 3rd vent of the house to put a mouse trap inside, I froze in my spot. I stood inches away from it, just staring deadpan at what was inside the vent. I hardly believed I saw it, since it seemed to disappear almost instantly once I looked. It seemed like a person almost. almost is the key word in my description for whatever it was, since I could hardly see the rest of it, but its eyes were nearly bright enough to be a dim flashlight. The moment it disappeared, I heard pounding from above me, and then a horrified scream. It was Ellie, my 3-year-old daughter, in her room. As soon as the sound erupted throughout the house, I heard more pounding against the ceiling, coming from the master bedroom where I knew my wife was reading. Without hesitation, I began to sprint upstairs. The sound of my wife's screams caused me to pump my legs harder than they already were until I made it to Ellie's room at the end of the hallway. The sight that greeted me the moment I entered the room gave me an equal mixture of anger and fear. My daughter was gripping my wife's hands so hard they were almost losing circulation. Tears filled her chubby face as she cried out for her mommy to help her. The part that really induced my mixed emotions was how her small legs were getting pulled into the now open vent in her room. Deep within the darkness of the vent, I saw those eyes once again. Those bright eyes I hardly believed I saw moments ago downstairs. This time, its eyes illuminated Ellie's leg enough to let me see its talon-like fingers gripping onto her tightly, trying hard to pull her inside towards it. Seeing someone's hand on my daughter instantly filled me with more rage than fear. Before I even had any idea what I was doing, I practically jumped towards whatever was holding my daughter in the vent. I gripped one of Ellie's legs in one hand and one of the creature's talon-like hands in the other. I used as much strength as I could to pry its ashy green hands away from my daughter, but the harder I tried, the tighter it dug its nails into her leg, causing her to only scream out more. I began to feel annoyed and utterly raged. Not wanting to fail my horrified daughter, I reached into the vent, not caring or even thinking about what was really waiting for me inside. The moment I gripped onto what I assumed to be its neck, I heard a low growl that sounded like a mix of a tiger and a bear. The moment its growl echoed throughout the walls, it instantly let go of Ellie, letting her plummet to the floor, still gripping her mother's hands. Whatever sense of pride filled me at the sight was short-lived as I felt sharp nails and rough fingers lace their way around my hand. The grip I had on its neck disappeared as I felt myself tumble towards the vent. It was trying to pull me in instead. I tried my hardest to fight back, pushing my free hand against the wall. It must have been immensely mad about the fact that I took away its dinner. I knew I wouldn't fit inside the small vent, and it knew as well. That's why it was going for such a small child. I remember telling my wife to get to the bedroom and to stay as far away from the vents as possible, and that's exactly what she did, leaving me alone in Ellie's room. The creature hardly seemed to be trying to pull me inside as hard as it was trying to with Ellie. The moment it finally yanked my whole arm inside the vent, my face squished against the hard wall. Almost instantly, I felt a sharp pain radiate throughout my forearm. The moment I felt the intense pain, I also felt its cold hands let go of me. Without hesitation, I ripped my arm from the vent, falling backwards into the foot of Ellie's bed. With that, I felt the shaking I always wrote off as earthquakes beneath me as I heard it scuttle around in the floor away from the room. It bit me. This whole time, I was terrified of my daughter being bit by an animal that was carrying rabies, and I had just been bitten by something that was probably carrying more than just that. The bite marks that were pierced into my forearm were deep enough to draw quite a bit of blood and leave near-perfect teeth marks. The injury almost had me lightheaded. The mark would have almost been human if it wasn't for the long bottom row of teeth that were dented into my skin. For almost a week straight afterwards, nothing like that happened again. Although any time we heard or felt the floorboard shake, we would stop in our tracks, making sure to stay as quiet as possible and away from the vents. To make matters worse, the overwhelming sense of something watching us grew unbearable any time we were in the vicinity of a vent. One thing that was also slightly unnerving was how odd I felt ever since that night. That wording may make it sound as if I felt uncomfortable because of the events that transpired, but it was a physical feeling rather than mental. I was constantly feeling almost not all there, as if I was floating away from my body. Almost a drunken feeling if I had to describe it in normal terms. Sometimes I get random aches in my bones, as if I aged 50 years in seconds. Then came the most pain I had ever felt in my life. My blood felt as if it was boiling in my veins like molten lava, as if I were going to explode at any moment. Anytime the pain filled my body, I almost always doubled over, falling over and laying down to ride it out. I had gone to the doctors about my arm. I had gotten a rabies shot and all, just in case. So, there was no possible reason for me to be feeling so out of place and getting such intense pains. Because I didn't want to seem weak or bother my wife to take me to the hospital for a second time, I simply dealt with the feelings that overcame me randomly every day instead. But I should have just swallowed my pride, or shame, and gone. Because what happened next could have been stopped for all I know. It had almost been 2 weeks since that horrible night when we finally stopped hearing whatever was roaming within our floors and walls. We finally stopped feeling its animalistic eyes burning through us as we walked through the house. It was all beginning to look up. It was beginning to feel like a home, rather than a prison of sorts. But then, I started blacking out, as if I had too much to drink and just forgot everything that happened. Most of the time, it was later at night, right when I was about to sleep, so I thought I had started sleepwalking from all the stress that the home was causing me. That was something I had always done when I was a child. Or at least that's what I would have thought, if I wouldn't have woken up from my blackouts inches away from the various vents in the home. Any vent I seemed to wake up near was always slightly open, which was odd, as ever since the night in Ellie's room, we made sure they were shut tightly. The moment I confided in my wife about what had been happening, she told me I was probably just sleepwalking from stress, just as I had thought myself. I made sure to leave the vents out of our talk, so I wouldn't worry her more than she already was with our new home. Not even a day after our conversation, I blacked out once again, but this time, I woke up to something that haunts me to this day. Something that has my family absolutely horrified of me. I remember waking up, standing in the middle of the living room, nearly broken lights flickering ominously as if they were ready to burst at any moment. All the vents that I could see from my position were opened up, the complete opposite to how we always left them. The entire house looked almost as if a hurricane had whirled its way through it. Tables were flipped, chairs and mirrors were broken, random splatters of blood covered parts of the walls as well as the wooden floorboards. I remember so vividly the warm liquid that I felt around my chin, the intense metallic taste that danced against my tongue. At first, I thought I hit my head somehow and there was an intruder. That was, until I heard the cries from behind me. My wife and Ellie, they sounded absolutely petrified. As soon as I turned around, I regretted it. My wife had multiple bites and scratch marks against the body, the blood that covered the floor and walls obviously being hers. The only thing that relieved me was how Ellie was unscathed. The moment I looked at myself in the large mirror above them, I got a good look at myself. Blood dripped from my mouth, splattered against my clothing and face. I had scratch marks of my own against my face and arms, as if someone had been trying to get away from me. Once I tried rushing towards my family to try and help them, my wife gripped Ellie tighter, turning her away from me and crying more intensely. As soon as she pleaded for me to just leave them alone and have mercy, it all finally clicked. I did this to them. I was the intruder. No matter how much I apologized and told them we were going to get the hell out of this cursed home, they wouldn't budge. By the time I was finally able to get my wife to believe how I had blacked out, she began to slowly approach me with Ellie in her arms, shaking harder and harder the closer she got. She told me how inhuman I had been that night, how I had growled, just as the creature had that night in Ellie's room, how I threw everything and anything I could at them as I ran throughout the house, how I had grabbed her, tossing her down and sinking my teeth into her as hard as I could as if she was a piece of steak. How I tried so hard to pull them into the vents just as that thing had. And how it stood inside the vents, simply staring as everything went down, as if I was its minion in some way. After that, I didn't care that that place was our supposed dream home or that we had nowhere else to go. We just left to the closest clinic to help my wife and then got as far away as we could from that hell house. She didn't and still doesn't look at me the same anymore. Neither does my daughter. Even though the moment we left that place, I somehow stopped blacking out, as if whatever that thing was tied to me, forcing me to do things I couldn't possibly stomach thinking about. I wouldn't blame them. I'd almost killed them. But it still hurts to see such fear in their eyes most of the time. Fear towards me. The man that's supposed to keep them safe in the house. I'll never forget that home. And I'm pretty sure it will never forget me or my family. And that's terrifying to me. Especially since lately, I've been starting to black out again. But I'm afraid to tell my wife. Especially since the trust between us has just been starting to get back to semi-normal. I hardly think anything could possibly happen again. It's been almost 2 years since then, and we're thousands of miles away from that home. But just in case, close your vents and get the cops to check on your home. If you don't hear from me again.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.